Welcome back to your long-awaited episode number 10. I'm Ashley.
The slow one. And I'm Curtis.
And this is Partners in Crime. All right. Episode number 10. We're in double digits now. There's no going back from here.
You know, the funny part is, as you said right before we just started recording this part, that we're in double digits. And when you said that, I thought you were going to say days since we've done the podcast.
What do you mean?
Because, you know, we were supposed to have this on Friday and today's like Wednesday.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. We've had some, we've had a few different things come up.
It has been a crazy week. I'll give you that.
So one of our kids lost a parent and we've had her a lot. We've had Curtis off of work. We've had different appointments for other kids, and we've just, it's been a long week, so we apologize, and here's your episode. We're gonna attempt to do part one of probably two of the next case. We're probably gonna record that tomorrow, so it's out on Friday. Just heads up.
You're saying a two-parter?
I think it's gonna be a two-parter. It's pretty long.
Wow, should I have two conspiracy theories ready? Because that's what everybody really comes for.
You know, maybe when we record the two-parter, on the first part, you could just do the second part of that one conspiracy theory you never came back to.
I have to tell you, I already hate this idea. Would you like to know why?
Sure.
You know when you're on like TikTok and you're watching a video and you get all 60 seconds through?
Yeah.
And then they're like, come back for part two. And then TikTok was like, yeah, we're going to make 3-minute videos, so they can't do that. And you sit there through the 3 minutes and they're like, come back for part two.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I have to tell you that TikTok has a new feature, and only certain people have it, myself included. But there are now 10-minute videos on TikTok.
I bet you really think you're something.
Nah, not really.
I'm just going to say, if they start doing 10-minute videos, I'm probably not going to watch them. So.
Right. Watch there be like 17 ad breaks throughout the 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, it's not. I watch TikToks because I like videos that are under a minute, so I can just keep going.
Same.
All right, so do you have anything before we start?
No, you just made me think about a whole conspiracy theory about TikToks. I just want to let you know.
Well, okay, so this is a little out of order, but this isn't even our normal episode for the week, so go ahead and go out of order and just give a little quick conspiracy.
Okay, this is just a quick one. So, you know how back in like the beginning of the pandemic, there was a buyout between, I can't think of the one name. I always want to say Oculus, but it's not Oculus.
Oculus. Isn't that the VR headset?
Yes, Oculus is the VR headset, but there was another one that was like Oracle, maybe? It might have been Oracle. But Oracle is
like a JavaScript. You know, I'm talking about JavaScript. It would pop up on your computer like a little coffee cup when you're trying to play video games.
Yeah, it's a plug-in for your computer.
Okay, I'll just
leave. For like animation.
Goodbye.
But Oracle and Walmart have bought out TikTok. And so the big thing behind it was that American companies have owned all these social media companies forever, right?
Okay.
So they've always been able to influence everybody around the world's mind. But the reason why TikTok was such a big issue for America is because it was the first form of social media that the government did not have their own hand in. It was China. So China, supposedly, from what is said, the algorithm towards Chinese kids is things like playing chess or different ways to think outside the box so that they can build these kids up and change their minds on how they view and perceive things.
Okay.
But in America, it was like girls twerking, you know, making everybody watch it to dumb us down a little bit. Right. And then they also took those videos, and now you have a hard time watching regular TV or regular movies from not touching your phone because you're used to having a satisfaction in 1 minute versus what you would get in like an hour and a half on TV.
You got me there because I can tell you I have a hard time watching TV now without being on my phone while I do it.
Right. Because this was all designed to make you focus differently.
I feel like America's hands are dripping with TikTok. No, I think that their hands are completely in it.
Oh, millions of people in America have it downloaded.
Okay. So That was Curtis's. You know, he had to get the conspiracy in here first because he knows no one sticks around for the end. So he just had to throw a little.
Oh, is that my actual one for the first episode? I was like, I have a whole different conspiracy theory. What are you talking about?
I'm kidding. Well, although somebody at work said that they like your part the best, but I know that they were just giving me a hard time. So
was it Shane?
No, it was Darius.
Oh, Darius, my man. What up, Darius?
So, shout out to Darius. Hello. And Darius about to start his own podcast too, by the way.
Oh, what up, Darius? You need me to join that one too. Just let me know.
All right. So no, anyways, you cannot have him. He's not for sale. So find your own co-host.
Wow. I was trying to.
Okay. So on October 7th, 2010, we're just going to jump right in. No precursor, nothing. We're just going for it. Lisa Donlin, 38-year-old mother of three boys, by the way, makes a 911 call. She tells the dispatcher, I think my husband's been shot. Jody Towsley, the dispatcher, responds with, quote, why do you think he's been shot? End quote. After a moment, Lisa responds, because I did it.
What?
So with two of her boys in earshot, she doesn't go into detail to Jody until she can get farther away from her children. And Jody then asks, quote, why did you shoot your husband? And Lisa answers her by saying, because he threatened to kill me. He's been physically torturing me for 3 days. He punched me in the face. He threatened to kill me when I died, he'd have to kill my kids because he couldn't let them be raised by somebody else.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the whole story.
This is already so weird. Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, why you would call 911 and be like, I think my husband has been shot.
I don't really think she knew what to say, because what if you shot somebody, would you be like, yeah, I think I shot him? Or would you be like, I definitely shot them?
I would be like, somebody was trying to attack me and I shot them in self-defense. That is what I would say.
Okay. Well, I'm going to spoiler alert. She shot him 5 times in the head and the back while he slept.
All right, everybody, have a good night.
Okay, so...
What?
All right, so let's rewind back. How did we get here? I'm sure you're wondering. What happened? How did we get to this point?
Why do I feel like that dude Leslie Chow is going to jump out of the back of some, like, 1960s... Who? Leslie Chow from The Hangover, you know, the little naked Chinese man that jumped out the back? I feel like he's about to jump out, and we're going to... We all, like, took some ecstasy pills, and now we, like, fast-forwarded to this part.
He jumps out.
Because you told the end of the story first, and now we're about to go back and learn about what actually happened.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, kind of. This is how we're doing it to this week. So Jason and Lisa married on July 4th, 1995, and by all accounts, they had a very rocky relationship. Jason was Marine, and then he went Army National Guard. Is that, like, common for them to switch from Marine to Army National Guard?
I mean, basically, I would say, personally, from my point of view, I see the Army National Guard different than, like, a reservist.
But that could happen, right?
You could definitely do that.
Okay, so he was a Marine.
You probably wouldn't be seen the same, but he could do it.
Okay, well, he was a Marine, and when he died in 2010, he was a computer tech for the National Guard. So they started off the marriage in South Carolina, and court papers prove how rocky things were. By 2006, the couple and their 3 kids were living, in Alaska in 2006. And in the same year, Lisa had to get a restraining order against Jason, and she went to a doctor, and her doctor even reported the injuries, you know, to back up the restraining order, basically. And so he was abusive. Basically, he was abusive from the start. And when he came back from Iraq in 2006, things just got way worse for her.
I mean, Iraq left a lot of people messed up in the head, so that makes sense.
Okay, so I mean,
that's an excuse.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not gonna speak on that. So, even though they had a restraining order, they end up staying together because when she did try to leave him, he ended up following her and finding her at a domestic abuse, like, women's shelter.
And then what?
We'll go on. Jason was violent and had abused Lisa for years. He tried to control himself in front of the kids, but he wasn't usually very successful. So he's abusing his wife in front of his three sons, who he's supposed to be setting an example for, of like how to treat their wives in the future, right?
Okay.
He would go into like jealous rages, and he would threaten to cut her throat, among other things. Like, can you imagine being like, yeah, I'm going to cut your throat?
I'm just curious. Does this guy have PTSD?
I don't know. He's never diagnosed with PTSD.
Okay, because this definitely is like reminding me of some PTSD stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Hold on a second. Oh, what's going on? So once after... I lost my place. Once after asking for a divorce, Jason loaded two guns and threw Lisa outside butt naked and pointed a gun at her. And this all happened in front of one of their kids. So she was like terrified of him. Obviously.
Sounds like he pointed it where the sun don't shine. I couldn't help myself.
Okay, I'm sorry. Excuse my husband. He would choke her until she passed out on several occasions. 2 days after she got the restraining order, he filed for divorce. She filed for a restraining order, got it approved because of all her injuries that the doctor backed up, and he was like, absolutely not, I'm divorcing you, and I'm taking the kids.
Oh.
Really sounds like he's fit to parent. So basically, he would use the kids as pawns to get her to comply with whatever. Because he was, I don't know, maybe he had PTSD. I don't know.
It does seem like that.
I don't really think that's an excuse because you're an adult.
I don't think you can like really help it. Not that I'm making an excuse, but he definitely sounds like he's messed up in the head. And they were like normal enough to get married before he went to Iraq. I mean, I just know it was big then. Worse
when he got back from Iraq.
Well, yeah, that's because not a lot of people in the military had seen any action. I mean, really, since like Vietnam. So, like, Iraq really messed a lot of like veterans' heads up.
I feel like
not that I'm making an excuse. No, I feel like there's other
outlets though than beating your wife in front of your kids.
Right.
I'm just saying. So, I mean, I was in a very abusive marriage before. I mean, this one. And I can say there's not a single reason that justified what he did.
I just thought of something.
What?
I'm sorry, this is completely off subject. Do you think our listeners don't think that we've done a podcast in so long because they think something actually happened to me?
Oh my gosh. No, stop trying to play the victim. Okay.
Stop trying to play the aggressor.
What? Okay. Anyways. So basically, like, you know, he used the kids as pawns. He actually violated the order, the restraining order, twice by contacting the kids' school. And rather than going through with the misdemeanor charges that this was, they just decided to drop the charges. And then he dropped the case for divorce, and he's like, we're getting back together, so you can drop the restraining order. And they were like, okay, cool.
I wonder why they dropped it, though. I wonder if there wasn't, like, evidence.
There was evidence because she got the restraining order.
That's so strange. I mean, he
contacted the school. Like, there's a paper trail for all of these things, right?
Right.
So, I don't get it. I mean, I feel like, I truthfully feel like the system failed her. But if this wasn't enough to lead her to ultimately taking his life, there is, unfortunately, a lot more.
Uh-oh.
So just to be clear, she attempted to leave him. She attempted to get a divorce from him. She got a restraining order. She was terrified to call the police. And basically, she was trapped. She had three kids with this guy. He wasn't letting her leave. He wasn't taking no for an answer. If she did leave, he was taking the kids. He was going to kill her, kill the kids, kill himself, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing. Okay, so it was just like every time. Well, if you leave, I'm just going to kill myself. I'm going to kill you, kill the kids, kill myself. And he would tell her that, like, I'll start by taking the kids out as they get home from school, and then I'll kill you, and then I'll kill myself. Or go out. He wanted to go out suicide by cop.
What a way to go out. I wonder why everybody always wants that. Well, not everybody, but everybody that does that, like, why do they want that?
Like, the people who decide that they want that?
Yeah.
Who knows? All I know is that this guy's a real piece of work. Or else he was.
He sounds like it.
So, leading up to him dying, 2 days before the murder, Jason loaded Lisa and the boys into the car. I'm sorry, it was an SUV, but I mean, their family vehicle. He drove them to the woods, and when he got out to open her door, like, he got out and walked around. I'm using hand motions. This is not a visual podcast, so sorry about that. He got out to open her door, and she would lock the door. And he would take the key fob and unlock it, and she would relock it. You know, like I do to you at the grocery store?
Yes.
And you get super, you get super annoyed. Sorry about it.
So he's getting more angry.
Anyways, he ended up getting the door open. So
He
yanks her out of the car, and she just drops to the ground, and she, like, just dead weights. She will not get up. And he's getting, like, he's infuriated at this point because,
oh, one, yeah,
he's not getting his way. So what's the first thing that abusive guys do when they don't get their way? They throw a temper tantrum.
I thought you were about to ask me, and I was like, how do I know?
Well, you're a good guy, so. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
I'm kidding. So he's like, you know what? That's fine. He's like, that's fine. Sit on the ground. That's fine. I'll just kill you right here. And then, you know, I don't want our kids to be witnesses to your murder, so I'll just kill them too when I'm done killing you. His own children.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Three young sons. They were all under the age of 15 at this point. So basically, she gets up and she's like, all right, I'll go with you. Because obviously the alternative is that she dies, her kids die, and I mean, plus they're going to be I'm sure that at this point they are absolutely terrified because they already know that their dad is abusive. I'm surprised that none of them told anybody at school what was going on, though.
I was just thinking that same thing. Like, this but is so weird.
They're probably so conditioned not to.
You know what I mean? No, because I feel like there are kids that live in foster care and bad things happen in their home, and they know that stuff is bad just being there.
But sometimes they just don't talk. They don't tell about it. Sometimes.
But all just three kids. I mean, maybe. Maybe he said, like, something would happen if he told on him.
Or maybe she told them something bad would happen if you know.
That's true.
Because she was trying to protect them too. So basically, they got up and they start walking into the woods, and what started the fight that he drove them out there for was that Jason discovered that Lisa had been texting one of her coworkers in, like, a very flirty fashion.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So she told Jason it had only been going on for about 3 weeks and that they had kissed each other once. I mean, he's already a jealous guy.
I'm just letting you know that this lady was lying.
Oh, yeah, I know.
More than that happened.
On the stand, she admits to the jury that really it had been going on for about 5 weeks and that they had kissed about 5 times.
Oh, they did more than kissing.
I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm not thinking
I think
so.
She was just afraid to tell her husband.
I mean, she admitted on the stand that she lied to him.
I guess that's true.
If she was going to tell, I mean, he was dead at that point. If she was going to tell the truth, she would have just done it. So I think that she was miserable and she was abused and she couldn't leave him. So I think that this was just a small slice of, like, escape for her, which I don't blame her. Go off, girl. Do you? If you're getting abused.
Well, I guess at least there's a paper trails, because now I'm like, wait, so you're saying that she actually lived and he didn't. So we're just hearing her side of the story.
Yeah, but
because she could be like, yeah, this is only going on for abuse, though. 5 weeks. This could have been not the only guy. That could have been the guy that she decided to stay with. And there was other guys throughout their marriage.
She does not. She does not stay with this guy. I mean, it wasn't an innocent fling because, yes, she did kiss the guy and she was you know, going back and forth on text.
What's an innocent fling, in your opinion, now that I have everybody listening?
This is not about me.
What's an innocent fling? I've never heard of this before.
I think that it was wrong that she was cheating on her husband.
That's not the question I asked.
But what I'm saying is I think it was something that she wasn't taking serious because she knew it would never go anywhere because she was stuck with her abusive husband.
This still does not answer the question of what's an innocent fling.
Just stop. Anyways, I think I don't know what you're trying to say. She was trying to escape her reality. So she was with somebody that she wasn't with seriously, but enough that she had a distraction from her home life. Why are you looking at me like that?
I've just never heard this term before, innocent fling.
And that's not what I meant, like innocent fling. I mean, like, it wasn't serious.
Weird. Anyways. You got my eye on you, Comet.
Which one? That one or that one.
Oh my gosh. Okay, as we're not a visual podcast, I woke up and I have like some weird thing in my eye.
We think a bug bit me. On his face.
That's such a bad description. Itch is really bad though.
Anyways, I think he's got it kind of looks like poison ivy and also looks like a spider bite.
Anyways, let's continue.
Anyways, we'll continue with her innocent fling. So Jason believed there was 100% more going on. So he began demanding answers, and she would not tell him that there was more going on. He just decided to start choking her until her vision blurred and her knees got weak. Basically, he was trying to kill her. But spoiler alert, it is harder to kill somebody by strangling them than what you see in the movies.
You don't say.
I'm saying. So he stopped and he was like, okay, I'm going to give you three choices. So you can shoot yourself in the face. One.
Okay.
You can let me strangle you to death. Or she had just recently had surgery and she had a bottle of pain pills that he had in his pocket. And he's like,
what did you have surgery on?
I didn't find that, so I don't know.
Oh.
Anyways, so she had just recently had surgery and she had pain pills. But anyways, he had the pills in his pocket and he's like, or you can just overdose. Like, what an option.
Did she go with the overdose?
She did.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd go with.
Yeah, she said, I think she did this because it would buy her more time.
Oh, that's fair.
I mean, because realistically, if she took the pills, she could always, you know, puke them back up or...
Somebody could save her if they came in. You can't really come back from the other two.
So he throws the pills at her and she starts to take them and he snatches them back and says, quote, you're not getting off that easy, end quote. So I don't really think he wanted to kill her. I think he just wanted control.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, because there was lots of times like in my abusive marriage where he would basically tell me to leave, and so I would just start like getting a bag around, and then he would rip the bag out of my hands and be like, you're not going anywhere, blah blah blah.
Yeah, maybe I just don't understand the viewpoint of this guy because I've never like been in the position of him before.
Yeah, but
I think it's more like it's basically understanding, like, for you,
a round of gaslighting and then physically attacking them for doing what you said to do even though you didn't really want them to do it, but also you would have attacked them if they wouldn't have done it. So if she wouldn't have taken the pills, he would have beat her to death. And if she did take the pills, he was going to get mad that she was dead.
I mean, I get it. I just can't picture it because I can't imagine being like that.
I mean, that's probably good that you can't imagine that. Okay, so they drive home. And the next day after the boys went to school, he tied her hands together. And he attached her to a pulley system that was hanging from a hook in their one bedroom, 12 by 20 foot cabin behind his parents' house.
Okay.
The horror. Okay. That's terrifying. Like, just something about being suspended is just terrifying to me. Like,
there are a group of people that are into that.
Oh, trust me. I know. And when
I'm talking about a sex swing. I think we're on two different pages. And that's
totally different because guess what?
Shout out to Shane.
So,
oh man.
Actually, anyways, I'm not even gonna go there. So the prosecutor in the trial actually says, you know, some people might just call this a fetish and like bondage. And she was like, absolutely not. Like, this was not consensual. Like, I did not agree to be suspended from our ceiling.
Wow.
So this is kind of actually like this part, this specific part that I'm about to say is actually kind of funny because she just kept making him mad. So she's suspended and he sprayed her with rubbing alcohol. Okay.
Okay.
And tried to light her on fire. That's not the funny part. The funny part is that every time he brought the lighter over, she would blow the flame out. And he was just getting so mad. Like, I guess all he had was like a little Bic lighter. I'm assuming because she would just blow the flame out. She's like, you're not lighting me on fire.
Wow.
So good for her. So this part's not funny. So he beat her with a belt, which... sounds terrifying. She's suspended for one. And then she's like absolutely helpless getting beat with a belt. He was punching her, slapping her. He told her to stay. This is what even more messed up. And this right here goes to show you the years of psychological abuse he put on her because he's like, you need to stay quiet or you're going to be the one responsible for anybody that hears you and then has to witness what I'm doing to you because then I'm going to have to take them out and that's going to be on you. And so she was just quiet. The whole time, nobody heard her at all, which is crazy. And that was including her kids too, by the way. Like if her kids heard her like screaming for help, he would have taken them out. So
this is like the weirdest fetish. Like so
it's
weird.
It's not a fetish.
I feel like it has to be. You said he stripped her naked and he tied her to the ceiling and then he's like whipping her and everything else.
It's called abuse. It's literally called domestic violence.
I just don't think I can wrap my head around it because I've never been a part of it, I guess.
Well, lucky you.
Sorry.
So after all of this, he raped her and went to sleep like nothing was wrong. Before he went to sleep, he told her that the torture would resume the next day when he woke up. So she was like, yeah, it's not actually going to happen. Because she pulls out a .45 caliber handgun and she shoots
him five times
in the hand, in the head, in the back while he slept. This was after her one older son went to school. Two of the other kids were still at school. And that brings us back to the beginning when she made the confessing 911 call.
Okay, so now I see why she's a little distraught talking on the phone.
Right. See? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is a little bit different than I imagined.
I mean...
I was not right on this one.
All I'm going to say is I do not think anybody should be able to murder somebody else. But she tried every other avenue of leaving this man, and he was not having it. She had no other choice. He was literally torturing her.
Wow.
So, originally, the grand jury decided that with all of the domestic violent reports previously, that they weren't indicting charges, and then all of a sudden, this quote-unquote new evidence was brought to light. I say quote unquote because they never disclosed what this evidence was. So the prosecutor just really didn't believe that this was a self-defense case.
Okay.
Because he was sleeping. So, yes, he was sleeping, but what were her actual chances of overpowering him while he was awake?
Right. I mean, she was tied to like the ceiling.
She was on day two of being tortured, beaten, and raped, and she was about to start day three as soon as her...
Like, what was happening to these kids, like, while she was tied up and he was in there? And then they just came home from school and he just let her out?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yep, so she was facing... Now she was now facing charges of second-degree murder, manslaughter, and criminally negligent homicide. And this would total, if found guilty, 99 years in prison. So her bond was set at $100,000, And she spent 2 years in jail until her trial began. Like, that's a long time.
That is a long time.
And you have three kids.
Right.
So during the trial, she took the stand, which was very uncommon for the target of a criminal investigation, but she felt that her side of the story needed to be shared. She kept her composure the entire time. Prosecutors argued that the killing was non-confrontational and that medical records showed no evidence of significant torture. However, a nurse testified that all of her bruises and injuries aligned with Lisa's testimony, even specifying that she had belt-shaped bruises along her body. So, I don't know what the heck this prosecutor's problem was, truthfully. I think that maybe he was looking at it from, like, what you said, like, maybe this guy had PTSD, like...
Maybe.
He's a veteran, he's still in the
Army National Guard.
The National Guard, yeah. So, for some reason, I got that confused with Coast Guard, I almost said that.
Oh my gosh, not even on this...
Okay,
not,
so
not even like in the same category. Sorry.
Anyways,
Coast Guard's like going to swimming classes.
Okay, so anyways,
they literally train to swim in a bathtub. I mean, come on.
No, they don't. Are you serious?
No, but basically.
Okay, so anyways,
they have to splash each other with the sink water.
What?
That's the highest form of combat in the Coast Guard is the splash sink water.
See, I feel like the Coast Guard and the Navy were like buddy buddies because they
both absolutely were... not even remotely close. Literally, it's like the Navy plays in the ocean and they play in a bathtub. I'm like not even joking. Not even the same job.
Okay, this is coming from, in case you're new here, my husband's a Navy vet. So,
and if there's any military personnel, they'll agree. Coast Guard's not even considered the same.
Okay.
It's laughable at best.
You heard it here first. So Lisa did many things to get out of this toxic abusive cycle. Like I said, leaving an abuser is by far the most dangerous time. So like the time that you are leaving is like the highest chance that you are having to like get killed by them.
Right, because they don't want because like their secret to get out.
Their last ounce of control they have over you. Unless you have kids, then of course, then that plays a totally different role. But it's literally statistically shown that leaving is the most dangerous time, and that's why most women end up having to leave up to seven, or on average, seven times before they actually don't go back. So, I think I left probably like 8 or 9 times before I actually left. So I totally believe that.
Wow.
Because I don't know, obviously he threatened to like kill her kids and stuff. Like my ex would tell me that he would kill my family members and then come for me when I went to their funeral. So, I mean, that's the type of psychological abuse that they put you through. So, honestly, I'm surprised that I would even covered a domestic violence case because I have PTSD.
Yeah, no, I can tell you're like super defensive about this girl versus the other girls in other cases.
I mean,
you are handling this differently.
I mean, I'm not saying that I condone her killing him, but I also can see 110% where she came from.
Right.
Just saying. So. I lost my place. So she did this thinking that it was either her life or his, basically. So this was in self-defense, in my opinion.
Right.
After a 4-week-long trial and 3 days of the jury's deliberations, she was found not guilty on all three charges.
You go, Glenn Coco.
She walked away a free woman, and after 2 years of being locked up and only getting supervised weekly visits with her three boys, they were reunited at last, free from the abusive person.
Wait, she was in prison for 2 years before they found her not guilty?
Yeah.
What happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Well, America says that, but they'll keep you locked up unless you pay the bail.
Wow.
I'm just saying. So... they're free from Jason. Like they don't have to live in fear anymore. Lisa says this about going home to her boys, quote, "We're just going to hang out, watch some TV, eat some pizza, hug, and be a family, end quote. That is the story of how she pretty much saved her own life, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought she was going to end up dead.
Why? So I'm curious, why did you think that? Because I literally read you the 911 call first.
You know, you're right. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like these situations never end up well. And I feel like this one, out of all the ones, now that we're in double digits, this was number 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is probably the first time that there was a happy ending for the victim.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes, I feel like Jason was a victim in a sense. But honestly, when you kill somebody out of self-defense, they're really not the victim either. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they brought that on themselves. Like, if you attack a bear and the bear kills you, the bear was still the victim. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, all right. I guess at this point, we are going to bring you guys back up, possibly, unless we're going back down, for a conspiracy theory to Curtis's Conspiracy Corner.
Actually, today we are going down.
Oh, man.
And when I say down, we're going to the underground.
Like, what's the underground?
Okay, so, as you know, I've been all around the world. And so...
No, really?
Yes. And one of my goals was to make it to all 50 states, okay?
Okay.
So I've obviously been to other countries, but I wanted to make it to every state. So I've been in every state but five. And with that, when I was traveling places, I would purposely go out of my way when booking flights if I had a layover somewhere. Do you know what a layover is? Okay, so a layover is, say, like,
if you just have to get, like, in between planes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So I would purposely take a layover in a state I've never been.
Just to say you've been there, like, you know that doesn't count, right? Unless you walk on the ground, right?
But you have walked on the ground once you've gotten off the plane.
You walked in the building.
I've been outside the buildings. I've gone and done stuff in between flights.
So, okay, so side note. Before 9/11, were you allowed to just walk out and walk back in, or was there airport security still?
Of course there was airport security. It's just more heightened.
Okay, sorry. I just didn't know. I've only been on an airplane once.
Yeah, like, now they have x-ray machines and everything else. They didn't always have that.
I walked through thinking that they were going to think I was sus, and I was literally just going to Vegas with, like, my makeup in my bag, and that was, like, it.
Judging from some of the things you wore, they didn't need the x-ray machine, because there's no way you were hiding anything else. Just saying.
I was going to Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Okay. So on a side note, because this has nothing to do with Vegas, out of all of the airports that I've been to, which, mind you, I've been to an airport in almost every single state.
Okay.
Like.
Except for five, apparently.
Right. Because I have been on ground, driven through most of them, been through them.
I literally almost just said, wait, how many states are there?
Oh, my gosh.
You already said there's 50. I'm kidding, I knew that before.
Cool.
But for some reason, Mandela Effect, I literally remember learning in school that there's 52.
There's 52. There's 50, but then there's two subsidiaries that we don't actually consider states, but they are states.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, it's really weird. Okay. But on a serious note, of all the airports that I've been to, and the most famous airport in the United States, do you know where it is? Denver, Colorado.
That's close.
Yeah. So, okay, in Denver, Colorado, they have, like, sculptures up on the walls, and they look very satanic. Ew. And the conspiracy is that underneath the airport is, like, an underground society, basically.
Of airplanes?
That is full of Illuminati members. It's like the headquarters of the Illuminati.
Okay. So anyways, I'll just see you guys later. I'm actually not participating in this one.
She's not participating, and I'm the one you're coming after. So there's actually, like, a lot of weird stuff. So I'm going to show you a picture. I don't know if you want this for the Instagram.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
I know you forgot to update it, like, 11 days ago, but...
11 days ago.
This is an Illuminati statue. Sorry, I can't talk now. That's outside the airport. I'm sorry, it's not. Did I say Illuminati?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the Freemason statue. basically the same thing. So anyways, the theory is that the Freemasons have ties with the New World Order. Because this is like everywhere right now. Like a lot of people are saying that. And that they have their international affairs at this headquarter base in Colorado. I mean, think about it. You could fly people in and out of there and they could just go to the headquarter base and you'd never know about it, right?
You'd be none the wiser.
Right. Nobody would know who they are. So,
that, and especially if they had security clearance.
That statue that I just showed you, or the plaque, is outside the south entrance. It says, near the Westin Hotel and RTD, University of Colorado A-Line. That's where it's located at in the airport. Okay. So, a lot of people are confused because there are strange markings all throughout this airport. And I will tell you, that when I went there, and the last time that I went to Colorado was 2010. Well, it's kind of weird for this podcast because that story was in 2010. But the last time I was there was 2010. And they did have weird stuff up, like signs that were like, trolls work downstairs. And it would have like trolls walking down like the walls. And like leading downstairs.
Were, like they've heard their own conspiracy theories.
In which they have said, I did read in the article that I found, that it said that they do play along with the conspiracy theory because it's easily disproved, even though it has never been disproved, but that it is easily disproved, so they play along with it for publicity stunts for people to come to their airport.
All I'm going to say is conspiracy 101 is everything is hidden in plain sight.
Everything is hidden in plain sight. And let me tell you, if you ever smoke the good stuff and go to Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
There is a, the name, I just drew a blank too. There's a Voodoo Donuts in Denver, Colorado. It's the only one in Colorado. They were in Portland, Oregon. Good, yeah, I'm the one that told you that.
Yeah, okay.
Because my friend Brian Perry took me there while we were in the Navy. But we went to like his hometown. He lived in Oregon. And so there's a Voodoo Donuts next to a weed shop. Highly suggested if you're in Colorado. I haven't been in the one in Colorado, but the donuts are next level.
Like,
I'm telling you, I got one that was like Captain Crunch, and it was literally like a cereal and donut like combined.
Sounds
fantastic. A Fruity Pebbles one too. There was also like a chocolate peanut butter. They had like the most decadent donuts you've ever seen. So, yeah, that's the story of the Freemasons and the Illuminati underneath the Colorado airport. Do we know if it's real? Yeah, it probably is. But, I mean, the black SUVs are rolling up.
50% of the time, the conspiracy theories are right every time. So
that is true. You know, I read something the other day. You know what the difference between a conspiracy theory and a fake story is?
What?
It's not a conspiracy theory after 6 months.
I don't get it.
Never mind. Okay. Well, that was a conspiracy story.
So actually, like, back in my, like, wilding days, I watched this paranormal thing. Apparently, like, Freemasons is like a whole like another like layer of society,
Okay.
There's a lot of things and it freaks me out. I don't want to know anything about it. Not that like you're allowed to know anything about it because you're not. But I'm just saying it freaks me out. And so I'm glad that that's all you said because,
So funny story. I'm sorry. I know this is a long episode, but I just have to tell this story.
It's actually not long. We're in
that
like 50 minutes.
Oh, okay, that's not bad. So while you're in the Navy, there's this term called cranking. Okay, and so cranking means that you have a temporary duty. You're taken from your normal job and you're sent to the galley where you have to go work with the food people, okay, to make food for the rest of the ship. All
right.
So while I was cranking, this guy was in charge of me. His name was CS2. His job was literally a cook. So I had to go work
every day.
Yeah, like that's his job every day. Was to just cook food. I know. So this guy, let me just paint a picture for you. He was Filipino. So he had a brown skin. But he looked like Grimace from McDonald's. You know the purple guy?
Yes.
Yeah, looked just like him. Not even joking. I will never forget, this guy got so mad at me because I was the supervisor underneath him. And one day he came in and I had sent all of my people on break. And he came in like screaming at me. And he was like, "Petty Officer Third Class Comet, where are all the people?" And I was like, "Oh, I sent them on break." Like, he got so mad at me and he pulled out his fist like he was going to punch me and stopped it right in front of my face. And like, I did not flinch or nothing. It was crazy. And he was like, "You see this?" And he had this ring on and it was a Freemason symbol on his ring. And I was like, "Yep." And he's like, "Do you know what that means?" And I said, "Nope." And he's like, "I'm a Freemason. You should be terrified right now." And I was like, "Well, I'm not." Like, it was just the weirdest thing because this guy literally tried to flex his little Freemason ring on me. Like, I'm so scared.
You're about to get a ring.
I know.
Ugh, I would be terrified if I was you. I would probably still be scared to this day.
I'd probably still laugh just as much as I did at the time.
Speak for your own self, okay?
Okay.
So, are you done? Because I hope you are. Because that scared me.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that my story was boring you.
No.
Yes, I am done.
Also, we have a few case suggestions that we've received, and we are in the process of making a schedule for all of them. And they will get played at some point or another, maybe this year, maybe next year. I just forgot to shut the volume off.
Again. Was that really me?
Yes. Your iPhone.
That's your Oh. Oh, you're right. It is my phone. I'm sorry, everybody.
Every time, it never fails. Anyways, so yeah, we're in the process of making a schedule and hopefully sticking to our Friday. I like that we post on Fridays when we do.
I think our listeners like that we post on Fridays when we post on Fridays too. I don't think they like it that we post on Fridays but really post on Thursdays.
And Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Mondays and Saturdays.
Yeah, it's all about being punctual.
It's not a quality of mine.
That's true.
So, anyways, we're getting on a schedule and they should be coming every Friday.
Hopefully, we'll get regular sooner than later. And,
yeah, so if you have case suggestions you sent in, they're not going unnoticed. Like, I'm putting them on a schedule, and we will get to them. So I have, like, I think, like, 10 right now.
Wow.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're in-depth ones. Like, the next one is a case suggestion from Shane, and I'm pretty sure I have 2 books that I want to read on this case. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be a 2 or 3-parter. Is this going to be, it's a lot to cover.
Okay.
And so just a spoiler alert, it is going to be on Ariel Castro. So.
Yeah, I only know about Fidel. Get out of here. Get away from me. What? We're going to end this podcast before you end up on it. You don't know who Fidel Castro is?
No.
Oh.
Who is it?
Literally one of the most famous dictators in the world.
Well, that's probably why I don't know him, because I don't have time for that energy.
He was alive during your time.
I don't have time for that energy. So
oh my god.
I don't know about him. So, that's where we're going to end things. And sorry that I have no comprehension of history. Or time frames, or electronics, or anything like that. You can just, anyways, move on with your day. So if you want to suggest a case and get it on our schedule, you can send us an email at... Well,
I just showed her a picture of Fidel Castro, and she doesn't even know who it is.
If I seen a picture, I would not know who that was.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
He's
okay.
Not worth knowing if he was a dictator. It sounds awful. Anyways, what?
The Cuban Missile Crisis? Like, nothing?
Never heard of it.
Okay, never mind.
You didn't want, like, Scarface?
No.
Okay.
I know somebody out there right now is laughing about this.
The person that I know of is Scarface. And that's only because Scotty was obsessed with Scarface, and I watched the movie, and
that's the only reason I know about that.
All right, everybody, I'm done. Good night.
Wait. Hold on. I'm just thinking about it. Didn't they try to send him a laced cigar?
I feel like that was a thing, actually.
And he wouldn't smoke it unless it was from a certain place or a certain person. Because
this is how we're ending this podcast right now.
I'm sorry.
I'm about to look it up.
Well, you look it up, and I'm going to tell our listeners their email. So, anyways, our email is partnersincrimethepodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at partnersincrimethepodcast. And we will be posting photos of this episode's true crime case as well as the conspiracy theory. And Curtis is looking it up to give you an answer.
Yo, this is crazy. No, this is not what I thought. This might be what you thought. I don't know. In 1960, the CIA tried to poison a box of Fidel Castro's favorite cigars.
Yes, that's what I did hear about that.
It wasn't just poisoned. It was supposed to be an exploding cigar.
Yes. And he was this is too sus, and he did not smoke it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Good on him.
Well, I guess he got part of it, right?
There's no such thing as free lunch, everyone. Just so you know.
That's true.
Free cigars from the CIA. Don't accept anything from the CIA, actually.
True.
Okay, so anyways, that's how we're going to end things. So do you have anything else to add?
I do not.
Okay, have a good day or a good night.
Have a good day, night.
See you later. Goodbye.